Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
What do the continuing adventures of a wannabe real-life superhero and the return of a group of friends into the game world of Jumanji have in common?
Whoa, man, I have no idea. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched Kick-Ass 2.
And this week I watched Jumanji, The Next Level.
And now it's time to make The Movie Connection.
Alright, welcome in everybody. Hi there, my name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection. In an effort to broaden our movie horizons, we have decided to assign each other movies every week to watch. And we watch them, we discuss them, and then we review them, and we try to figure out, is there anything that connects these two different movies? Any connection whatsoever.
Anything at all.
Yep. I mean, and sometimes the results are pretty interesting. And I don't think this week is going to be a disappointment whatsoever. I mean, first of all, these movies are really fun. You know, this is almost a sequel in a way to a previous episode on the podcast, because I watched Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle for the first time on this podcast. You know, worth a listen if you haven't listened to it. Although, spoiler ahead, because expectations were really high for this one when you assigned it to me. Like, I was really excited to see it, but yeah, I really had a lot of fun with that first one.
Yeah, I agree. And that was our 100th episode, I think.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and going into it, like, I thought, like, what did you think? The connections were going to be easy, difficult for this week, or...
I thought it was going to be really easy, but it turns out it was not.
it took a little bit of effort. I ended up finding a couple, thank goodness.
I have one good one.
Oh, well, I mean, well, one good one, that's all it takes, I say. Or
same.
I will say.
Yep, I agree.
awesome. And then, and you'd seen Kick-Ass, so, I mean... You know, yeah, these both, like, I figured would have the element of fun going on.
And they do, I think. I think they live up to that expectation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Let's just dive right into it. I think it's your turn to start, Casey. So why don't you tell me a little something about Kick-Ass 2? You know, this is kind of jarring. Like, no semicolon, no additional thing. Like, no, just Kick-Ass 2. Kick-Ass again.
Yeah, it is
really.
Weird, isn't it? Yeah, I like that better, actually. That's what they should have called it.
Kick-Ass again. Well, all right, hit me up with that, in your own words, synopsis for Kick-Ass 2.
All right. Kick-Ass and Hit Girl, a.k.a. Dave and Mindy, join forces to become a dynamic duo in this follow-up to Kick-Ass. Mindy's guardian busts her and grounds her, forbidding the superhero stuff and insisting that she become a normal high school girl. Meanwhile, Dave joins forces with a vigilante group of superheroes led by Colonial Stars and Stripes, also known as Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. The amateur group of heroes starts making a difference when Red Mist, also known as Motherfucker, inflicts revenge on Kick-Ass.
Motherfucker.
Definitely what happens.
Colonial Stars and Stripes. I think you can say that, but it's Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was
looking at the cast, I saw COL, and I thought that was Colonial.
I think you can pronounce it that way, but yeah. But I don't get it either, because, yeah, it throws you off, because COL, like, how do we get Kerr? What? Huh?
Sorry to all my military people.
Oh, right. Yeah, come on. No. And obviously a play on Captain America, which I love.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Before we get into Kick-Ass 2 too deep, Kick-Ass? Like, do you remember Kick-Ass? Like, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I loved Kick-Ass. I thought it was so fun. It was like the Deadpool before Deadpool, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a good,
we've got, like,
good way to
thank
put
you.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, because we've got, like, happening, like, so much cussing, which I love, because I have a potty mouth as well.
Right.
And, you know, like, super violent. It's not your typical, like, Disney-coded right. Marvel movie.
No, not,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly. Definitely not. Right. It was one of those, like, grittier takes on the super grittier responses to the Marvel movies, actually. This was, and this was the first one anyway, like Kick-Ass 1 was, yeah, back when, at the height of the MCU thing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a nice response. And also, the Batman movies were going on too, so they were also kind of, you know, digging at that, because a lot of people feel it's like you're either a Batman or you're a Marvel fan, really. Like, you know,
especially back then, it was so pitted against each other.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, well, DC's kind of fucked up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Disney, like, mainstreamed it. They figured yep. out a formula that worked
right.
for them.
Totes. But it's also become
so,
kind of stale.
It is.
Yep.
It totally is, yeah.
DC actually,
and
DC's, you know,
starting to figure it out.
Exactly.
Like, look
That's,
at, like, yeah. what's been happening. Like, Birds of Prey was so good.
Yep.
Suicide Squad 2
oh
was
God.
Really good.
The Suicide Squad might be my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, yeah, it was so good.
So good. Like, just so balls to the wall entertainment.
Oh, yeah. It was, I loved it.
And I really, like, Kick-Ass 1, like, I'm kind of in the minority, I guess. Like, I feel like tonally people just didn't know what to make of it. I feel like that's what can happen with Kick-Ass. Because it was very gritty and, like, you know, it's done by Matthew Vaughn. I'm a big fan of that director. He's the same guy that did the Kingsman.
Oh, yeah. Love Kingsman.
Yep. Yep. And he also did X-Men First Class, which is probably my favorite of the X-Men movies. So I really like that director. He's a Brit, you know.
yeah.
And
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, I liked the dark edge to it. But then I think people also saw it as, like, a high school, like, teeny bopper almost age movie. But it wasn't that to me. Like, I never... It never fully invested in that side. I didn't feel it was a high schooler movie. Well, if I were in high school, I would want to watch it. That's for sure. But yeah,
I agree. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And it is based off of comics too,
which are way more dark. Which
I bet.
I'm thankful that, like, I think that's the good part of these movies is they knew, like, Matthew Vaughn knew how to kind of soften the edges just a bit, because it gets bad. Like, motherfucker is, like, a rapist and, like, he kills kids, I guess, from what I hear.
Yes, that's,
so,
I read that too.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, okay, like what the fuck.
Really glad they didn't let that happen.
And, you know,
the almost yeah. rape scene was, like, upsetting for me.
Yes.
So
yeah, definitely. What was it? We'll talk. Yeah, we can talk about it. Like, that scene, yeah, in particular was pretty interesting. They did a pretty effective job at, like, lightening it up pretty quick.
They did, but I was still, like,
but
so
still.
Uncomfortable with it, yeah.
Yes, still, exactly. Right, and so, and that's kind of my problem with the, so the creator of those comics, of the Kick-Ass comics, Kick-Ass comics is Mark Millar. And he is known for being an edgelord, like, you know, is the term. And, you know, I like that to an extent, but when you're just being an edgelord, like, you know, I'm over
to
it.
To be one?
Like,
yeah,
yeah,
same.
And that seems to be his thing. It's just like, oh, no, it's got to be dark, gritty, dark, grittier, you know. He's the one who introduced the Robin that we have now, Damian Wayne, who's like a total psychopath. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, I'm like a
here.
Fan of, like, if it tells the story and it adds to the story, then I think that it's a good thing to have in there. But if it doesn't really add to, like, character development or story, then I don't really see the need for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Because it was also making the statement about, like, the real life repercussions of being a superhero. Like, if you really wanted to do that and didn't have the whole superhero gimmick thing, like, you know, in a world that is like our own, where people don't really have superpowers like that.
Right.
What would that look like? What would be the consequences? And I think the first one did a good job at that. And so this is kind of trying to add more to that conversation, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does Kick-Ass 2 compare to Kick-Ass? You know, what was familiar? What's different?
Obviously, we've got some of our familiar characters. A bunch of them, actually.
Yeah.
We've got some new ones. I like the, like, group of vigilante, like, superheroes. That's new to this movie.
Justice Forever.
So fun. Yep. Like, that whole entire dynamic is really fun to me.
Because that's a great idea. And I like some of...
Yeah, totally, totally. Those actors, too.
Right. Yeah, some of those actors I think I know who you're talking about in particular. You're a fan of Scrubs.
I am a fan of Scrubs. I love Scrubs. It's definitely like a comfort show to me. And it's like, as I'm older, I definitely, like, I rewatched some of it last year.
Yeah.
And it's just like enough cheese to be really fun.
Right.
And it's enough heart to make you cry a little bit because it is a doctor show, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's their job. But yeah, no, I love that guy. I love the one that's his best friend in this, too. I've got to look up his name.
He's a good actor, I got to say, you know? Like, and I watching this, I was reminded, it's like, oh, yeah, what's he doing? You know?
He's doing a podcast with the other Scrubs guy. With JD from Scrubs, they do a Scrubs podcast. It's really fun.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about... Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Kick-Ass's friend.
Oh, yes. So that's Clark Duke. That's his real name.
Yeah.
And I do love that guy. Yeah. Like, he was, for a minute, he was in a bunch of supporting roles.
Hot Tub Time Machine. And I really... Yeah, I like that. That's what I'm talking... Yeah, that's what I mean. I wonder what he's doing lately. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if he had a podcast. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
He's nice.
It looks like he's, like, doing some voice work, actually.
Okay, I was wondering if that was the case. So, good for him. Good.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. That's a cool gig.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Pretty cool.
And then I recognized Lindy Booth, Night Bitch.
Yes, Night Bitch.
What a name.
She's cool.
She is cool.
She's a cool bitch.
and I really, like, I get a kick. Lindy Booth is one of those actors. It's like, you know, she doesn't, like, I don't know. She's done a couple Christmas movies and stuff. She was in The Librarian Show. And just a really solid actor and just a really nice person, like, from what I gathered on set and everything. She's just a really cool person, so.
I've definitely watched her in some of those Christmas movies,
Shit. Oh, no.
I like her, though. She's
Does
awesome.
She do good in them, at least?
Yeah. I mean, it's good. You know, what we talked about, like, you got to grade them on a different scale.
Yeah, right.
But she does good, yeah.
Awesome. And you're right. We had a couple of character changes, like, actor changes for some returning characters, though. Because who was it? Pretty great actor played Todd, you know. Who was that? It's the guy
in the first one?
Yeah. Evan something. Like, people really like him. He's also been in a lot of the American Horror Story movie or American Horror Story shows. Evan Tyler, I think.
Evan Peters.
Evan Peters. No, that's it. Yeah, Evan Peters.
Oh, okay, it is him. Yeah.
Yeah, he played Todd in the first one, and then they got this, I don't even know who this kid is, but he might be more of a Todd than even Evan Peters was, because I do get that impression where it's just like, oh, God, this guy.
Yeah, he was in WandaVision. Evan Peters was.
Yes, he was. Yep, the other Quicksilver. Ooh, interesting. Because we got other, we got Quicksilver here too, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
And then Marcus, who plays Hit Girl, aka Mindy's guardian, like he was played by a different actor in the first one. We got Morris Chestnut this time around, who he's all right. And I think he did this part really well. I think I buy
he
him
did.
As
he
the
did good. Yeah.
As the good dad, good cop type.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a pushover. Yeah. Like, he fell for some stuff that I'm like, you're too smart to fall for that, but okay.
And especially if you want to sell me on, like, you're actually good at your job as a cop. Like.
right. But, no, he was good.
I love that shit. And, like, let's cover our leads really quick. What do you think of the performances this time around? You know, Aaron Taylor Johnson is kick-ass. Really did some good stuff in the first one. Overall, as an actor, I'm not like huge fan. I think he's okay. He's just never really done anything to blow my hair back, but you know.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he did good in these for sure. Mm-hmm. I think he's like, he's believable as like the nerd that's also a superhero. Like, he pulls that off well.
He's got the heart.
You know. Yeah, for sure.
He's got the heart. He's a Brit, too.
Oh, he is? I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Chloe Grace Moretz, one of my favorite actresses.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah. I think...
she is so good.
She doesn't do... She just... She does some meh movies, but I get a kick out of her, you know? Like, she's...
At some
really
point,
actor.
I'm going to assign you Neighbors 2, and she's in that.
Oh, shit. Yes, she is. Boy. Yep.
Yeah, she's awesome. I wish she would do more, actually, because she's like, I don't know. I think she's really good.
It's one of those cases where it's like, I'm wondering if it's either her, like, just maybe her taste or her representation, like, picking weird projects and stuff. It either way, no fault of her own, I guess. It's just you kind of want that, like, oh, I wish you'd do like a big movie though, because you're just so good, like, you know.
She's still young though. She's only 24,
absolutely.
So she's got time to.
Oh, totally.
I didn't realize she is really young.
Yep. Like, she just did that Tom and Jerry movie, which was definitely like, you know.
Do pick weird ones for her, don't they?
I guess she was the best part, but it's really
does.
Hard to tell.
I mean, she could have.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, it could be her taste. She could have been like, it's like, okay, Chloe, we got, all right, here we go. We got James Cameron's Avatar 3, or we got fucking Tom and Jerry. What do you think?
For real, though.
I think I'm going to do Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. She's got almost like a Florence Pugh like look to her.
Yeah. Oh my god,
it'd
be awesome if
so
they played
pretty.
Sisters or something.
That would work.
That'd be badass. Holy shit. And then, I'm sorry, we kind of got away from my initial question. Like, how does this compare? Like, what do you think, what does Kick-Ass 1 provide that this one doesn't? What does this one, like, what was the maybe direction change if you felt anything? Like, what do you think?
Sure. From what I remember of the first one, mm-hmm. like, I think there was just a bit more story.
Okay.
The second one, I feel like, is really, like, we're going to throw down an action movie, and mm-hmm. there's going to be lots of fighting.
Right.
I
mean, the core, those scenes, the stunts were pretty off the hook, I will say.
They are so good. It is so violent.
Cool. Yeah.
the first one was violent too.
Right.
But I don't know. I just felt like more of a pull to the story of the first one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I do. Like, this one did feel a bit more maybe episodic. It's like this happened.
If you want to go to the movie, you want to see some blood and gore, and you want to like watch a movie that you don't have to think about too much, Kick-Ass 2 is like better for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not an insult to it. That's just like how it is, you know?
Totally. You're right. I feel like the kills were a little more, somehow more fantastical this time around.
Yes, I think totally.
That's why that maybe like is what makes it feel so different is like first one is just so grounded. Like, I mean, everything felt like the injuries were real. Like even the explanation for why Kick-Ass can like withstand such a terrific beatings is because of a real life situation of, oh, my nerve endings are damaged. Therefore, like, yeah. Doesn't really hurt me.
Right.
So that's real life. Like that's it's possible.
Right.
Yeah, but this time around, like, yeah, we've got Mother Russia, someone who eats their cellmate. We've got lawnmowers being used in the most creative ways possible.
I will say that was like
pretty that fucking felt... awesome.
Yes. It reminded me of those, you know, those movies. Oh God, what are they called? Like the one where the
Final Destination.
The log goes off. Yes. The log goes off the logging truck and kills people, or the girl gets locked in the tanning booth and burns to death. It's like those. Like that's like how they like looked at the deaths for these ones.
Right. And a few of the kills felt like kills that the director was like holding on to for the right movie, and it's like finally.
Yes. Totally.
Finally, I can do my lawnmower kill. What? You'll see. It's pretty awesome.
And it was
like that. Yeah, that was really good shit. To me, I will say to me, it kind of feels like a director put in charge of a movie franchise. He was a big fan of Kick-Ass 1, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna do that again, but it, you know, like gonna try to do that again, but it's me this time. And like, you know,
yes.
And it really, like, I do wonder sometimes if when they make sequels and stuff, do they actually sit down and really do just decide, it's like, hey, you know what, let's basically beat for beat go for what we did the first time, but just switch it up a little bit, you know, let's not, you know, let's not do too much work, like, you know. Sometimes it feels like that.
I mean, that is definitely how they used to do sequels, right?
Yeah.
Like back in the day when we were growing up, that's pretty much how all the sequels were.
It's not broke. Don't fix it. Like, let's not get too fancy. Yes. Okay, we did Die Hard. Let's do Die Hard, but in an airport.
For real, though.
Yeah. And again, I always, it's weird when I come around to like trying to review or like really talk critically about this movie. I just feel at the end of the day, it's kind of a meh movie. It's just an example of like, it's not bad at all. Like I actually get out of a few scenes, but it does. I think the thing that's missing is Matthew Vaughn, who was the director of the first one. And like,
I think you're right.
It's just so interesting that what a difference just that can make.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're totally right there.
But I do think, you know, it was made with love, though. It felt like it was made by a fan of the first one, which is better than, like, having it be made by somebody who maybe didn't care about the franchise.
And wants to, like, fix it or something. Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
And we definitely...
Like the Star Wars nightmare that we just had.
Yes, good example, yeah. So, have you ever considered a superhero persona?
I have. Awesome. She would use like crafting supplies.
Okay.
So it's not a very good superhero.
It sounds perfect for this world.
You would be. It's perfect for my world because like you can do a lot with crafting supplies, like. Have like all kinds of different size needles for knitting.
Okay.
And those things are sharp as fuck. You could really like stab somebody with those, you know?
Yeah. Wait, there are different sizes for knitting needles?
Of course, yes.
Jesus.
They have ones, Jacob, that are as small as toothpicks.
Damn. Fuck. Okay.
And they have huge ones too. And like, you know, there's a lot you could do, I think, with a crafting superhero.
Yeah.
And she even could be, like, deceivably young, but maybe she kind of looks old.
Okay.
Like, she could be cool.
Lady Crafty. Yeah.
I don't know what she would be called.
Yeah, right?
I just don't know.
Interesting. Like, sometimes they aren't even trying with superhero names, it seems. Like, Kick-Ass, and then you got even in Invincible, like that show, and something else. Like they really like they don't. Oh, The Boys. Like they don't put a whole lot of effort, and I feel like they do it for the comedy. But I'm like, yeah, but can't you guys actually try though? Like,
right? Because the name is like half of the coolness, right?
Like Hit Girl works for me. Kick-Ass is almost even too much, but they make it work. It's like, who are you? I'm Kick-Ass. Like, it feels right. Like a high schooler name. But yeah, I don't know. Like, sometimes they drop the ball when it comes to superhero names. My goodness.
I agree with that.
Like, even Motherfucker. Red Mist. Like, I was thinking about this. Red Mist? What is that?
Right. What is that?
Red Mist. back to dynamic, weird characters. Jim Carrey is barely recognizable as Colonel Stars and Stripes. What are your thoughts on Carrey in general? And more specifically, how do you think he did in Kick-Ass 2?
I love him in this role. I really like Jim Carrey. Like, I grew up watching a lot of his movies.
Right. Mask,
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Dumb and Dumber, Truman Show, Bruce Almighty, The Grinch, you name them, like I watched them. Liar, I love.
Yes.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, like there's so many good ones, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I've always been a fan of his. Like, I like his extravagantness that he has to himself, you know. He's a character, that's for sure, and I think that as long as he's grounded by the people that are around him, he's sort of like Nicolas Cage in that way.
Yeah.
Like, Nicolas Cage needs characters, people around him to, like, ground him a little bit. Otherwise, he can become too cagey. Yeah. That's how Jim Carrey is, too.
Right.
I
know what you mean, so, where it's like, I feel like you get two different types of Cage or Carrey movies, where it's like, was the director actually trying to direct them? Or did they just say, hey, fucking go nuts, pal.
Figure it out. Yeah, totally.
And both can work. Both can work.
I totally agree. It depends on, like, the setting of the movie and who they have around them to, like, see how they play off of each other, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, totally love Jim Carrey. I think he's great. This movie, I really liked his performance a lot because he was really good. Like, totally believable. He was just, like, eccentric enough to make his character stand out, but he wasn't, like, full-blown crazy Carrey, you know?
Right. And very, like, kind of, like, the first time I kind of found him intimidating in any way.
Yeah, he totally is intimidating in this movie. Right. He is, like, this, like, big, like, strong, like, hero guy, you know?
Right.
They used to be a mobster.
Right, and that's so strange. I never, like, never would, if you would have laid that, like, character out for me, would you have said, it's like, played by Jim Carrey. It's like, no, Jim Carrey doesn't, like, play mobsters and shit. Come on.
Right. But this does make you wonder, like, he would have probably done a good job, right?
Yep.
Like.
And, but we also know why.
I would have liked to see it, but.
Right. But we also know why is because, and we kind of find out in this movie, he's very anti-gun.
Right.
Which kind of leads to my next question. So Jim Carrey, he has like less than 8 minutes of fucking screen time in this thing. I can't believe that.
No way.
Right?
Is that true?
Right? Yeah. So
I'm so shocked.
It reminds me of like a Beetlejuice situation where it's like Beetlejuice, like, I mean, his name is in the title and everything. He only has like, what was it, like 15 minutes or something of screen time. And it's crazy.
That's so interesting. I did not realize that his character was in this so little.
Right? Yeah.
He really crazy. Like takes over the scene season, I guess, because I didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. But leading to my next question, Jim Carrey's very anti-gun, and that shows in his character. But we still see plenty of gun violence in this movie, right? By heroes and villains alike. Like, Hit Girl, kind of her thing.
Right.
Now, this is where it gets... Is it hypocritical to participate in a gun-heavy action movie while being outspokenly anti-gun?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
at the on end one of the hand, day, he's I an think actor. It is
kind of critical.
Right.
Right? Because it's like you're not participating in it, but you're like in this project that is participating in it.
Right.
And if we looked at it with a different issue, then I would say it was hypocritical. Like if we like looked at it like with racism or something, like, oh, I'm not a racist, but then you hang out with a bunch of racists.
Right.
Then you are hypocritical, right?
Right.
But I don't know. I think it's a little different with the gun issue because like he
especially
could say,
in America.
I don't. Right. He could say, I don't like guns. I don't want to own a gun. But like he could also be, and I don't know if he is because I don't know his views.
Right.
But he could be one of those people that's like, it's okay if other people have them, you know? So I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Cause I'm finding as time goes on, I guess I don't really like guns.
Right.
And it's hard to be vocal about that in this country because it seems like, I mean, it's fucking like, yeah, as people love to point out, it's in our Constitution. And that can be a problem for somebody who like doesn't like guns. Like you're part of a country who is very proud of their guns.
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I do like believe that if people want to have them, they can have them. But I think that it should be a lot harder to get them. Like I think you should have to go to classes to learn about them and learn about their safety.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like I think that it should be like a law that you have a fingerprint safe, you know, and like that should be inspected once a year or something. I don't know. I'm making some radical claims here, but think that we should like,
right.
You know, I think that we should have like a tighter grip on how to keep people safe, you know, with guns.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and especially like if you're, it just feels like if you are going to be the country that is so pro-gun, shouldn't you be the ones that are so fucking careful about it? Like I don't know, but we're not. We're because like it's also somehow connected to our innate like whatever. Sorry, words are escaping. Like personal rights or what? Personal liberties and everything. And I don't like that connection. Like, do not connect the gun with your personal like personal right to freedom. I do not. I don't like the idea of a gun being the symbol of freedom.
yeah.
You know, I
feel you there.
I think there are better symbols. I think there are better examples. freedom means I can kill you if I want to, but I choose not to.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. So. But right, I think you make some good points. And I bring this up, you know, we saw an increase in gun violence these past couple of years. It's just concerning. It was such an interesting case because Jim Carrey, he does this movie, and thankfully I like that he did stick to his ideals where it's like, okay, cool, but my character, like, as long as my character doesn't actually shoot a gun, okay, he doesn't shoot a gun, okay, we're good then. But overall, like, yeah, it's just an interesting case because then I wonder, it's like, well, gosh, I don't know. Because I think the go-to response is like, well, why did you even make the movie? Did you read the script? Like, it's a victim-blamey country we live in. So, yeah, we go right for that where it's just like, well, what were you thinking? Like, why would you make this? Like, well, it can still support, like, the message and the entertainment value of the movie and everything. Like.
Right.
I don't know. It is interesting. It just makes you. I think it depends on the person. Like, you know, it's an individual to individual thing. Like, it's.
I think you're right. I think it is. Like, it's an individual choice. It's an individual opinion.
Right.
And I think that, you know, he did stand to his guns and he didn't use guns.
Nice.
So.
Right. Right. And again, like, he didn't badmouth it. Like, I think that's the key, is, like, he didn't say anything bad about it. Like, that, he just simply disagrees with the gun violence. And that's, hey, respect.
Yeah, that's absolutely okay.
So, let's see here. This shifts a lot of the focus to Hit Girl. What did you think of her character's growth or arc, like all that?
I liked her storyline, you know, the coming of age thing where she tries to fit in and then realizes that she just needs to be herself.
Right.
I love that. Like, that's always a tale that I like to see in movies.
Right.
I will say I probably got like a kick out of her school stuff more than you did.
You know, I liked it more than I even thought I would. Like,
good. I was giggling a lot when she went over to that girl's house and they watched that stupid music video. Like, I was laughing so hard.
clearly a stand-in for One Direction, right?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
And I totally remember being like in middle school and watching music videos on TV with my friends. Yep. Like, that's what we did. And we would look for the hot guy music videos. So right. it absolutely brought me back in time, which was fun.
Totes.
It was hilarious. And I really liked what that girl said about, you know, doesn't matter. Like, you like Twilight. Like, yep. You like these boys.
It's biology, like bitch.
Yes, I was laughing so hard at that.
I did love that line.
That was almost my favorite quote.
Yeah, I believe it. I was like, I wonder. Yeah,
yeah, it almost won, but I was just like, no, it's not quite as encompassing as I would like it to be now.
Very nice. Nice. Right, the whole, the boy crazy thing. It was an interesting shift. Like, it's weird. It's a love-hate thing because I'm like, I feel like it's a weird thing for a kick-ass movie, but I still like it because I do enjoy that high school, especially that high school melodrama. It's Mean Girls, really, is what it is.
It so felt like Mean Girls. It totally did.
Yeah.
It totally did. Yeah. No, I liked her character growth and development, though. And I thought it was good for her to take a break for a minute from the superhero stuff, even though, you know, they needed her help. It was good for her to, like, have a minute where she wasn't being a superhero.
Right. And I think that's the natural, like, you know, you come to that story in a lot of comic book movies, Spider-Man absolutely. In particular. Like, you always have to question it. Like, once you get the power, like, really questioning it.
With great power.
What? No.
comes great responsibility.
Yeah, oh, right.
I don't want to say it because then I'm going to die.
Okay, I think we have come to our favorite question.
Yeah, favorite.
Favorite performance.
That was Jim Carrey.
Crazy, right? Like, it's, and again, 8 minutes of screen time.
Such a screen stealer, like a scene I can't speak right now. A scene stealer. Like, he did so good. I liked him so much, and I wish that I could have seen, like, a superhero movie that he was the star of.
Oh, totally.
Like, that's what it made me want, you know?
Because, and he bought his costume, which I fucking love. Like, that's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, so this, it's so interesting, because he clearly, like, loved this character. So that's so interesting to me. Well, I think because he did see it as an opportunity to be like, hey, this guy doesn't use guns. Like, I like, you know.
I totally, and he is spreading that message in that way. Like, you know that his character doesn't like guns, you know?
Right. And, you know, is spreading the idea of community building and stuff like that. Not doing the too anti-hero-ness.
Yes, totally.
Favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Kick-Ass meets all of the other vigilante superheroes.
Oh, good choice, yeah.
Like, nice. I just thought that was so fun when everybody's meeting and then he realizes his friend is there and then he totally blows his friend's secret identity. Like, the whole thing was so great.
Totally, yes. We get, and that's awesome. Where we get a little Lindy Booth time. We get introduced to the, you know, as lame as those two parents are, I like what it stands for. Like, it's a good message. It's like, yeah. Insect Man, love that idea. Like, you know, these were, yeah, this was, yeah, that's a good league.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved it.
And then favorite line of dialogue?
Yeah, my favorite line was from Mindy.
Perfect.
She was talking to Kick-Ass, and she says, act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
I do like that.
I love that so much.
So, and then would you rewatch or recommend?
Yeah, I would rewatch it. Nice. Like if I was feeling an action movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I would recommend it for sure.
Nice. Because it does provide some pretty really solid stunt work. Like it almost feels like they used the same team because it was there.
It was. It was really good, yeah.
And then out of 5 stars, how many stars would you give Kick-Ass 2?
I gave it 3 out of 5.
Nice. That's about what I give it too.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Pretty solid. I
enjoyed it.
Not changing the world, not, you know, but yeah, but good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, now I think it's time to talk about Jumanji. The next level. All right.
I'm so excited. In your own words.
Here we go. When we last left Spencer and his friends, they had survived the wild digital world of Jumanji, an enchanted game with a mind of its own. Having endured hippos, deadly cake, and other crazy obstacles, the high schoolers declare they will never return to that world ever again. Unable to resist the call of the drums, Spencer dives back in, forcing Fridge, Martha, and Bethany back into the game to rescue him. Along for the ride are none other than Spencer's grandpa Eddie, played by Danny DeVito, and his estranged and Eddie's estranged best friend, Milo, played by Danny Glover, both who had a falling out some time ago. Though the Avatar characters of Jumanji may be familiar, the people controlling them are a little different. Fridge is saddled with Oberon, the map guy, and Milo is Mouse, which leaves Grandpa in the large and in charge Dr. Bravestone. As Milo and Eddie try to reconnect, and Spencer's friends try to locate him, there's a band of barbarians led by Jurgen the Brutal, played by Roy McCann of the Game of Thrones fame, that are in possession of a sacred stone that is the goal of the game this time around.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize where I knew the bad guy from, and it was Game of Thrones, and he's the freaking, he's the Hound.
Oh my gosh, I did not realize.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, I see it.
Now you got it.
Now you got it.
Oh yeah, we got it.
Really, really fun. Okay, let's get into it. Are you ready?
All right, let's talk about it.
How do you feel that this held up to the first one?
Awesome. Okay, so first one, like I said, like it was just such a fresh, fun ride for me. Like it really did encapsulate that what you're looking for in a fun, entertaining movie. And it was so different from the original Jumanji, yet still, and kind of did its own thing, but it was working for me. Like I liked this idea of, okay, you know, game avatars, but it's high school kids, so you get that awkward humor going on. That's great. Like the juxtaposition of like a nerdy kid in the body of The Rock, like that's great. That's
right.
That's good. So that was a lot of fun, and there were just some great comedy bits, solid comedy bits, and everything like that. This one, it feels like, see, again, like kind of similar to Kick-Ass 2. They kind of decided to step more into the high school audience, it feels. And I guess the first one did feel like it was for that level of audience to a degree, but the second one, like, just felt even more so. Really juvenile humor in some places, and, like, for some, the impressions felt even more like impressions to me, because they were doing impressions.
They did.
Because we have people with different dialects, so it just left it open for that. And I was like, you know, damn it, you kind of messed it up a little bit then. Because what was great about the first one is like, no, it's high schooler in the body of The Rock. His voice shouldn't have to change. Like, so the whole Danny DeVito thing almost doesn't work, like,
for that reason.
On the whole level, where it's like, okay, I get what we're doing here. It's funny, but you wouldn't talk like that. He would talk like The Rock. It's Danny DeVito in The Rock.
And he does such like an exaggerated accent.
Such an exaggerated accent.
Oh my god.
And it was funny at first, but he was in his body for too long, I think.
I agree. I totally agree. Like, when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh, they should have done this body switch thing earlier.
Yeah, and there we go. Like, thank you. Yeah, which leads me to, that's where it kind of picked up for me. It's like, okay, good. Everybody's back where they belong. Okay.
Yes.
It's like, thank God. And even even Bethany, I felt relieved when Jack Black started doing his Bethany thing. It was like, okay, we're good then. Like,
we're good.
It's like, oh my God.
Although I think Kevin Hart, like, did such a good job.
Yeah, this time he stepped it up. He was like, okay, Jack Black.
Oh my gosh, he was so funny.
Everybody's talking about Jack Black. All right, I'll show them.
Yeah, I liked, like, the dialect that he did, like, how he was talking slowly.
Yes.
Like, see, I did find that much more funny than I found everybody's accent impression.
Definitely. Now, even he was kind of breaking the rule, too, because it was still a Danny Glover dialect, so it's still, technically, he still should have been Kevin Hart, but you're right, the slow talking, like, that's different, like,
right,
where it's like, that's a speed thing.
Right.
He did pretty good.
And if you're playing a video person, they do move slower.
Right.
You know, they just do.
Yes.
Yeah, no, totally. I agree with you, though. I think that this one was missing some of the, like, magic from the first one.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as fresh, they also, like, I don't know. Rehashed. They could have changed.
They did,
I don't know.
They rehashed a lot of this. Here's what I feel like they latched on to the idea, what was working about the whole, like, okay, high schoolers in, like, dynamically different bodies. Like, that's funny.
Yes.
But they latched onto that and then went weird with it, where it's just like, okay, but what if you had like a New Yorker in The Rock, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, that's weird. Is it? I think it's just.
Right.
It is weird. and then, what did I want to say? Fuck. damn it.
This one, oh. I don't know if you read this. Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say it was like one of the fastest turnarounds from filming it to theatrical release.
That makes sense in a lot of ways, where it's just like, okay, cool. Yeah, got to strike while the iron's hot, guys. Here we go. It's like,
yeah,
don't you want to think about what we're doing?
In 4 months. So it filmed in 4 months, and then 7 months later, it was in the theaters.
See, yeah, that does make sense. Where it's like, nobody stopped to be like, it's like, is this going on too long? Or
yes, totally.
Or like, maybe we shouldn't, or maybe we shouldn't do this. Or now I do like the idea of, it felt like, so it feels like this movie was trying to be more about the angst around aging, whereas the first movie was about the angst of, oh, you know, coming of age.
Right.
High school experience. So I liked the idea of, it's like, okay, that's an interesting shift. Okay, we're going to deal with getting old. Now I like that.
And that's not something that, like, tons of movies do, especially movies aimed at, like, you know, younger people.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so great opportunity. Like, we've established our audience, I guess, our high schooler-ish age. And we're going to take this up, but we're going to have these older actors. And then, and we're going to deal with aging.
And then, I like, too, that Danny Glover and Danny DeVito's, like, characters have two really different views on aging, right?
Yes.
So that's really interesting, too. Like, one of them wanted to retire and, like, be old and enjoy his relaxation time, and the other one was just like, no, I want to work. Like, I want to work till I die because I like working.
Right. Totally. And so they had some moments of that, but then it just... But, like, not enough. Like, it fell through, because the first one seemed pretty firm in its messaging.
Yes.
This one, it's like, yeah, we got a message, but also, hey, fucking rock punching people. Jack Black, you liked him pretending to be a woman last time. Hey, what if... what if it was a black guy? And honestly, but again, But again, Jack Black being the awesome comedic actor he is, it still felt respectful. And, like, it didn't feel like, yeah, it didn't feel like an impression, actually.
Right. He did a good job. He did.
Yeah.
That could have easily been, like, offensive. So but offensive. It wasn't.
Right. Exactly. It wasn't.
Yeah. At least not to me. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you said. My next question, we sort of covered a little bit, but I was going to say, how did you feel about Eddie and Milo? And how did the thing do in mimicking their mannerisms?
Right. So, I mean, I guess they did fine for, like, improv group level. like, that's what sucks is, like, these are you guys are professional actors and stuff. I don't know. Again, like, it's done for comedy, so how much can I really criticize it? Like, he's doing fine. He got the facial stuff more than anything else. He got the Danny DeVito look more than he did the voice.
He totally did. You're right. And we already established, like, Kevin Hart did a pretty good job. Did you like the characters of Eddie and Milo?
So I did actually like the addition of those characters. I thought that was going to be eye-rolly or whatever, but no, I liked...
So did I.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea, and those ended up being some of the most interesting characters. Milo a little more than Eddie, but Eddie, you needed Eddie, for the conflict.
Yes, yes. The conflict and, like, the sadness.
Right.
Would you play a Jumanji video game if they created one?
Like this?
Yeah. Like, you know how I'm talking real world here.
Yeah.
Like, you know how they have the Jumanji board game?
Right. Oh, Jumanji, like, VR.
Yes, totally.
Right. And on, you know what? Get on that, people. Like,
yes. You can have my idea. Do it.
Right. Jumanji VR.
It would
be
pretty fun, right?
And no, it would be pretty fun, actually. Yeah. As long as it was temporary. And, well, I mean, you know, oh, hell, let's go for the real life stakes. Three lives only.
And then someone will come in and kill you.
Yep. No, that would be a lot of fun. And no. So as much, you know, even though, like, we kind of, I mean, we haven't reached the end of the show, but it's no mystery, you know, this one's not quite as good as the first one, but that's okay.
Right.
I do still want to see a third one, because it's like, okay, we had a little misstep, like, let's course correct and let's make this third one good again.
Like, that leads me perfectly into my next question.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
What did you think of the ending, and do you think the next one will be set in the real world?
Okay, so I did not watch the post-credit sequence, which I think would have made me a little more happy. So it seems like, and honestly, it's cheap when they do that sometimes. You should not do, like, maybe plot-heavy associated things for a post-credit sequence. Like, if it's, like, straight up declaring now, it seems like Jumanji is going to be affecting the real world. I would have liked that to have been provided in the runtime of the movie.
I don't know. I don't know. I thought that it was.
Was it? Maybe I jumped
the gun. I think it was
the
very end.
Oh, it was
so
a mid-credit sequence, maybe. That's what it was. So I would have had to...
Yeah, because what happened was, like, they went to Nora's and they were talking and whatever.
Yes.
And then as they left Nora's, like, an ostrich ran by.
Oh, I didn't catch that then. Damn.
Yeah, well, so that's what happened. And I think that they're saying that the next one is going to be in the real world, like the original Jumanji was.
Well, but then they also planted this seed of, like, when I was reading the behind-the-scenes stuff, they also are going to explore this idea that the Jürgen character is possibly being played by somebody else. Whoa.
Oh.
But if cool idea, I guess. It opens a whole lot of fucking questions, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Because now we're in a... I was under the impression that this was the only Jumanji game system. That would definitely make that not true.
Oh my god, yeah. And then it's like, who else is real?
Yeah. like a
yeah,
whole lot.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Yeah, so I like the idea of more them sticking with this idea of bringing it into the real world. I think that's a better way to go. And it would bring it kind of full circle, which is great.
Yeah, when I was reading some stuff and the director had said that it wasn't an accident that that happened and that it was a clue towards the next movie. So I'm hoping that what happened is like somehow they opened, because we saw the electrician guy or the cable guy or whoever he was like go in and touch the game system.
Right.
And the mom was like, "That's my son's. You shouldn't touch it." And he touched it and it shocked him. And like maybe he did something. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Because it's going to come out at some point.
Who
knows when.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm intrigued for sure. And especially like...
I do like that full circle thing if they do it right.
Absolutely. If that's the case, I need to see Kirsten Dunst. That's what's got to happen.
I would love that so much.
I gotta see some Kirsten Dunst. We've been getting all these freaking cameos.
It'd be awesome if she was just like, "No, I know how to fix this." Like,
yeah.
You fucked it up again.
God, what if she was Jürgen? Like,
okay, that would be amazing.
Because then you have to figure that she is saying, "I feed him to his own dogs." That's Kirsten Dunst. Good shit.
I love it.
I gotta see her though. So I like this idea. I'm intrigued. Like I am interested to see the third one. I just
hopefully they bring back some of the magic. Like they've taken a lot of time on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So that could help, because I know the second one, it just came out so fast. They weren't planning on making a
sequel. I think,
but the first one did so good that they were like, "Oh, we better hurry up and capitalize on this."
Totally, yeah. Absolutely. But you know what? I think you're right. Like, this time, it seems like they've been working on this one a while longer. COVID kind of made that happen.
It assisted with that, yeah.
but no, I think it'll be for the best. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in and all that other stuff. And maybe get rid of the whole horse thing altogether. What the fuck?
The
fuck was that?
I didn't love it, especially since, like, you know, if I was that guy, I would have been like, "Yo, somebody come back to the switching pond with me, because I don't want to be a horse forever."
No. See, yeah, right. I was... I didn't love it, but I was fine with it being done for the comedy reason. It's like, "Oh my God, you guys, I'm totally a horse." Like, what the, fuck ever, I guess. No, the whole idea was like, "No, it's okay. I don't mind if, as long as I get to live out the rest of my existence as a horse." No, bro. No, but I'm sorry.
As a flying horse.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know about that, man.
And I'm sorry, like,
I just don't know.
Yeah, I disagree. Like, that was a misstep, I feel. We've been talking bad about The Rock's impression of Danny DeVito and everything, but sorry, compared to Awkwafina, though, he's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
It sucks that she was given the more emotional depth side of the Danny DeVito character. That's nothing against I think Awkwafina is actually a pretty good actor.
I like her. Yeah, I really, really liked her in the Marvel movie that we just watched.
Fuck yeah. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. And the Ten Rings or Five Rings.
Ten.
In the Rings. that was a good movie, and she did a good job in that movie. I was really impressed.
And she's the voice of Sisu Datsu.
She is. I still say that there are better voices for that character, but I do really like her.
Good performance.
But yeah, this movie, I did struggle with her character a little bit as well.
I liked her when she was Spencer. I liked when it was
Yeah,
Spencer.
She was the better Spencer.
Yeah, yeah. That was working for me, but yeah, the Danny DeVito thing was like... And honestly, they needed to do maybe a little more with the Danny DeVito character in the game world in general, because they got stuck in this rut of like, "Huh? What's going on?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Hey." I'm like, okay, please give him something
else.
Yeah,
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she did okay.
She did okay.
What was I going to say? Next question is the favorites.
Favorites. Let's do it.
Okay, favorite performance.
Favorite performance. You know, Jack Black almost stole it again with his, when he came back as Bethany.
Oh, he's just so good.
He's always good. But no, Kevin Hart really pulled it out this time. He did it. And it's the best Danny Glover impression I've ever seen. he was great.
Yeah, he did so good.
I love the bit with the mandrels. The mandrels. Often confused with the baboon. And I actually learned something there. I was like, oh, I thought they were baboons. Okay, good to know.
Amazing. Yeah, he did such a good job, like, impersonating him. Like, just his mannerisms were, he definitely sold it. Like,
yeah.
I loved when he was talking about the ostrich, and he's like, and you know the funny thing about the ostrich? So funny. I was laughing.
So good.
Favorite scene?
I guess, like, the favorite scene would be the infiltration of Jürgen's lair kind of scene. Like, this was right after everybody's got back into their right bodies. This is also where we get the, like, basically the whole, like, dance fight sequence. I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, somebody, where's
like,
a boombox?
It has to happen.
Somebody drop a boombox, like she, like, like when they were getting their butts kicked. I was like, oh god, somebody, we need music. She's a dance fighter, people, a dance fighter.
Yes, she is, and she's awesome.
So good. Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was a good one. Favorite quote.
All right. It was hard to weed through the lines, but, you know, in the end, they did come up with a good, solid, simple line. You know, getting old is a gift. You know, I like that. That's a solid line. Getting old is a gift.
I love that. And because, that's something I should try to tell myself more.
And people can't laugh that off because that's blatantly true. Getting old is a gift.
It's like, so true. Sure. Yes.
It's like, no. Oh, what? You want to be dead, motherfucker? That's your other option?
Right.
What do you?
Right.
No? Yeah, shut the fuck up.
They have nothing that, like, pauses time. There's nothing that reverse ages.
Yeah.
Getting old is a gift.
Getting old is a gift because your other Love option it. Is, like, not being in existence. And that would be pretty boring.
Would you rewatch or recommend?
So, you know, I don't think I'm gonna rewatch it, but I would recommend it just because I'm like, these are fun movies, like, even if it's not as good as the first one, like, it still provides some good stuff.
I agree.
It's so weird. I would rewatch the first one, though, for sure. Like,
the first one is definitely better.
Yeah.
It's definitely better. Yeah, the first one is so fresh. It's so good.
Yeah.
But this one, I rewatched it for the podcast, and I was like, oh, it's definitely not as good as I remembered.
Right. Did you see
not
that one in theaters?
Bad. Huh?
Did you see that in theaters?
I did see it in the theater.
Nice. Was that also done with a pass?
No.
Okay.
My pass was gone by then.
Oh, we've got a timeline going on. So.
I know.
So Jumanji
I missed
won,
the movie
yes,
pass.
But movie pass died shortly. In this, we just talked about how short the turnaround was between movie to movie, and in that turnaround, we had the realization of movie pass.
The movie pass is like such a weird thing, and I feel kind of like fortunate to be part of it.
Yeah.
Because I got to see so many movies out of it. But Josh, like, when I signed up for it, he told me that it was like a scam, you know, which it was, but not
which
to
it
me.
It was a delayed scam.
And it was like a self scam for themselves.
Oh, right. Yes, exactly. Because you guys didn't necessarily get scammed. Some people did, like, get inconvenienced, especially at the end there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally, though, so I had, like, used it for, like, I want to say, like, months before Josh finally realized that it was, like, a good deal, and then he finally got one. And then it didn't last that much longer after we both had it, you know?
Right.
But it was good times.
Fun little blip on the map.
It's like just a weird pop culture thing that in 10 years people will be like, that was a weird thing that happened.
Totally, yeah. Kind of like the DeLorean.
Yes, totally. what would you rate this movie?
I give it a 3. So we got 2 3-star movies this week.
Wow, that doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, right?
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I still found it pretty fun, but yeah. 2.5,
it's not,
3.
It's not, neither one is as good as the first.
Exactly, right.
They're true sequels in that way, because most sequels are not better than the first movies.
Yeah, absolutely. So is it time for connections?
I think it is.
All right. So, well, if you don't mind, I do want to point out, like, that kind of is a connection, what you just said. Like, I think, yeah, that is a connection. Both are sequels that are not as well liked as their predecessors.
Yeah, I think that's totally accurate. Yep, that's a good one.
Any other connections for you?
Yeah, my main connection is just that both movies have, like, snarky teenagers doing crazy stunts in life or death situations.
Nice, yeah.
Even though, you know, we see the avatars kind of doing them in Jumanji.
Yes.
We're still to believe that they're teenagers that are risking their lives, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, what do you got?
What's that? That's it? Oh, okay.
What do you...
both feature nunchuck-heavy fight scenes.
Oh, my God, yes,
right?
Of course.
It was kind of crazy. Like, they were, like, featured scenes, too, where it's like, oh, no, we are making a point of nunchucks.
Hell yeah. I did not even put that together till now.
Both feature leads from Avengers movies. We got Aaron Taylor Johnson as Quicksilver, and then you got Karen Gillan as...
Yes!
Fuck, I always forget her name! The blue...
It's,
blue girl.
The blue girl.
Nebula, maybe? It might be Nebula.
Nebula! Okay. Nebula!
I think it's Nebula. All right. Because yes. She's actually, and it sucks, because she's actually a solid Avenger at this point. Like,
dude, she's so cool.
Yeah, she's a pretty cool character. I did not like her in the, like, Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Like, God dang, she's bad. She's a bad guy. But no, she comes around.
She does. She's one that has a good arc.
Yes, absolutely.
Nebula is, that is her.
Perfect. So there's our connections. Kind of loosey-goosey, but we got them. Like, yeah, we got them in there.
Me too.
Absolutely. Now it is time for recommendations. What you got?
This week I'm going to recommend The Witcher.
Oh, shit. New season.
Season 2 just dropped, and it's so good.
I hear the music is a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, I love any fantasy show.
Yep.
But I really love Henry Cavill as Geralt. Like, it's just so good. And he takes his role so seriously. Like,
he's a nerd.
He's a nerd. He has, like, read the books, and he he plays Dungeons and Dragons, and he builds mechs, and he, like...
Yep.
He actually was telling people on set, like, no, this isn't how he would do it. He would do it like this, and, like, correcting... Which I just, as a nerd, I, like, love that so much, and I appreciate it so much, you know?
That's badass. That's pretty great.
Yeah, he's so good. I love it so much.
Good deal.
What's your recommendation?
I have been dipping back into, you know, we love nostalgia. It's no mystery here on the Movie Connection. I've been dipping into some old favorite TV shows and stuff, including Hey Arnold. Such a good, solid show.
Love Hey Arnold.
Dude, it's on Hulu and it's on Paramount Plus. So, you know, check it out if you can. I forgot how awesome, like, almost 90% of it was the music for me. Like, the music was really good. It was jazzy, like, which was not huge at the time, but just worked for the show. I really liked it. Like, so Hey Arnold, that's been a good revisit. And Sailor Moon. Holy shit.
Ah, Sailor Moon.
Like,
I love that.
Forgot how much I enjoyed that crazy goddamn show.
It's so good. That's so awesome. I love it.
Such a comfort show where it's just like, oh, goodness. Good anime.
Awesome. Good anime.
All right. Well, you know, if you want to let us know your recommendations personally, you can send us an email.
At movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
You know, you can follow us on Instagram at @themovieconnection, or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We've got a Facebook that we often post to.
The Movie Connection.
And you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be most appreciated.
Yes. And subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
That would be amazing. Awesome. So now, I think, have we finally come to the time where it's time to assign each other the movies for next week?
I think we have.
All right. So what do you got for me, Casey?
This week, I am assigning you Booksmart.
Ooh, Booksmart. Fun.
Yeah. I've been waiting for so long.
Very nice. All right. We got Booksmart. And then I'm going to assign you Francis Ha.
All right.
Francis Ha. So this is Greta Gerwig.
Oh, love her.
Yep. So, yeah, this will be fun. Not going to tell you too much about it. You don't need a whole lot of information. It's just one of those. Actually, all you need to know is it's Greta Gerwig. Like, she does good character-driven stuff.
Yeah. I'm super excited. Is it in black and white?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
So, all right. So, this will be interesting. We got Booksmart and Francis Ha. All right.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. I feel like we will be able to find connections, and they will be interesting ones.
I think you're right.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, hopefully you join us next week for another episode of The Movie Connection. Stay safe out there if you're traveling or anything like that. Just be really careful.
Be responsible. Vaccinate yourselves.
Yep. And get boosted.
Get boosted.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye.